أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من شر الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الميامين المنتجبين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله we are going to continue the talk about the history of our beloved 12th Imam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض. نريد is from إرادة, from the will, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a will. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do something. There are several types of wills of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to go into those details today, but just briefly, one of the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is irada tashri'iyya, legislative will. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something, makes a legislation, makes a tashri'ah, makes a command on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that thing to be done, but He wants through us, He wants us to take care of that thing. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the salat to be established. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, makes it obligation on us to bring this salat. So this is called irada tashri'iyyah. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something, but He wants us to do that kind of thing. This is number one. And then we have irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We call it natural will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-irada al-tabi'iyya. In this irada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something to happen. But He sets up few rules, few natural laws, laws of nature, physical laws, chemical laws, all these laws, biological laws, and things go on. Like if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants some place to have rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up some rules. There will be high pressure, low pressure, clouds, this, that, and everything, and the rain will come forth. So this is the irada al-tabi'iyya. And then we have another irada, which is al-irada al-takwiniyya. That means if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something, He will surpass all the channels, all the medium, and bring something from nothing to a thing. And this is called al-irada al-takwiniyya, or the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we say it the system of amr, or system of kun fayakun. Where innama amruhu idha arada shay'an, there is irada here. There is will. His will is nothing. His irada is nothing but, if He wants something, He will say to a thing, be, and it is. Kun fayakun. So this is called al-irada al-takwiniyya, the power of kun fayakun. This is mentioned in Surah Yasin. Innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yakula lahu kun fayakun. This power of kun fayakun, power of amr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to the prophets, alayhimu salatu wasalam, to perform miracles. There are people, they deny this irada al-takwiniyya. They say this is just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Human cannot have it. People, they see this kind of thing, they are mere ignorance. They don't know the knowledge of the Quran. They have not read the ayat of the Quran, which indicates the relation of this irada, or this type of power, or this type of will to the Prophet. The Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inni ubri'ul akma." I am the one. The Prophet said, I bring people back to life. I do this, I do that. He performs miracle, but with the permission of God. So he needs to ask Allah, oh Allah, should I do it or not? But does he have the power? He said, yes, I am the one who is doing these kind of things. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him such power. Okay, that is the prophets. Those are the prophets. What about the non-prophets? You guys say, imams, they have this kind of power of kun fayakun. Our a'immas, they can perform. What's the big deal? In the Quran, we have the story of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Prophet Sulaiman said, who can bring me the palace of Bilqis from Yemen to Palestine? A 3 hours flight time nowadays. The mighty jinn, he said, I will bring it to you before you stand up from your place. وَقَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِنَ الْجِنِ. This was the most powerful jinn. A 3 hours flying time nowadays, this mighty jinn could bring it in just when Prophet Sulaiman stands up, like say 10 seconds, 5 seconds, this was the time fraction. But there was someone in the gathering, he had this power of kun fayakun. وَقَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. The one who possessed the power, the knowledge of the book, he said, I will bring it to you before you blink your eye. That means blink of eye and it's there. This kind of power of kun fayakun which Allah had given to this person who was the successor of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, Asif bin Barkhiya, with this power he brought the palace of Bilqis or Bilqis from Yemen to Palestine in a blink of eye. This power in Quran it is called Amr. Innama amruhu. His Amr is nothing but إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. If he wants something, he can just say كُنْ, be, and it is. This is the Amr. Let's use the methodology of Tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, explaining the Qur'an by Qur'an. This is Amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another property of Amr mentioned in the Qur'an, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. Our amr is nothing but, it's just like that, one. There's no prerequisite, there are no muqaddimat, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and here the thing happens. No, when it comes to amr, our amr is nothing but, just like a blink of eye. And Quran gives us an example of this also. Asif bin Barkhiya, this guy who brought the palace of Bilqis, in a blink of eye. So Quran tells us the Amr, what is the Amr? This power of Amr, the property of it, and also tells us, that gives us an example of people they perform, they use this power of Amr. So there shouldn't be, people should not be surprised that our A'immat alayhi salatu wasalam, if somebody says Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he traveled from place to place like a blink of eye, shouldn't be a big deal. Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, why do people deny this power given to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam? That guy, that Asif bin Barkhiya, the successor of Prophet Sulaiman, قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب. He had knowledge from the book. This is Quran. And when Quran describes Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, says شهد شاهد ومن عنده علم الكتاب, the knowledge of the book. Imam Ali has the knowledge of the book. That person had the knowledge from the book. He had part of that knowledge. Imam Ali has the whole knowledge of this book. So if that person can bring the palace in a blink of eye, what's the problem? Why cannot Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam do the madharul ajaib thing, the magnificent thing, the amazing thing, the mesmerizing thing? What's the problem? people who either they are ignorant about the Quran they deny, or they had some problem towards Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. They have some sick, they have some illness. They don't have this love for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the Quran telling us that he has Ilmul Kitab. And look at the another ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ. Obey Allah. We know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. And obey the messenger. We know the messenger who is. Allah did not say, وَأَطِيعُ الْخَلِيفَ. Because there are good khalifa, there are bad khalifas. Allah did not say, أَطِيعُ الْإِمَامِ. Because Quran tells us, أَئِمَّةُ هُدًى وَأَئِمَّةُ ضَلَالَ. Imams of guide and imams of deviation. Quran did not say, obey your rulers, obey all this. Quran used a very specific term. أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Those who possess this amr from amongst you, those who have this power of amr, those are the one you need to obey. Why? Because this power of amr does not come just like that. That person needs to be pious, needs to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, needs to have all those kind of beautiful and excellent qualities and virtues in order to get this. So if you have somebody who performs this power of amr or has the miraculous power, that means he will never ever cheat you. He will never ever lie you, because this power came to him because of his sincerity, his truthfulness, his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how this Quran tells us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's irada in this ayat, that Allah says, we are going to bestow our favors upon who? Upon those people who are weakened on the earth. What will we do? What is our favor? We will make them imams. نَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. And we will make them the heirs, the inheritors. They are the one. They are going to inherit the whole earth. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in Nahjul Balagha indicates that this promise will be fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Muntadhar ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif will come. So this is the promise. This ayah tells us. Now, this irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it irada takwiniyah? That means Allah will bid the kun fayakun, bring the imam, or it is the give the earth, or it is irada tashri'iyah. That means we have to work to have this kind of system on the earth. Many ulama, they say it's dual irada. Allah wants us to work like the Muslims in the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After we work and after we put all our efforts in working and bringing the system, and then if we are faced with challenges who will try to destroy us or wipe us out, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring his irada takwiniya, will bring his kun fayakun. Like I mentioned last night, like it happened in Battle of Badr. They worked to establish Islam. And when they were challenged, 313 poorly equipped, facing very well equipped army. But here kun fayakun comes, amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and these 313, if we put it on the natural law, these people are defeated, these are gone. But if we put in the under the law of amr or irada takwiniya, these people, they defeated the great army. So there is irada tashri'iyya. Allah wants us to work. It's not just sit yad ala yad. Inshallah, Allah, when you'll bring kun fayakun. No. We have to strive. We have to start from inside ourselves. If you want to be a supporter of the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, start supporting him from now. Do not waste time. Do not waste those precious moments, minutes which you have. Put your time in whatever pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supports your 12th Imam. If you are going to support from now, then when he will come, it will be easy for you to support him, and you will be considered among his supporters, true supporters. The beauty of supporting the imam is not when you see the imam and support him. That's easy. The beauty of support is when you don't see the imam. That's the ghaib, and you support him. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those people who believe in the ghaib, if you believe in the 12th imam, his existence, and you support him now when you cannot see him, your reward is greater. There were companions. They saw one day Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting, and the imam was talking about the people of the end time. These people, this companion, they asked the imam, "Oh master, who are better, we or them?" Because these people, they felt that they are better because the imam is in front of them. Imam said, "No, those people who are going to come in end time, they are better than you. Why, O master? Because we are here in between you. You guys see us, we meet each other. You guys get a strong support here. But the mu'min of Akhir al-Zaman, the believer of the end time, will be much more better than you guys. See, your rank is greater than the rank of those people who were with the imams, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Imam mentions the reason. Because they will believe in us, and they have not seen us. This is the ghaib. This is the iman bil ghaib. This is the belief in unseen. And you are believing in us, and you are seeing us. So that's why your rank is greater. Support the imam from now. Do whatever pleases the imam. Whatever serves Islam, do it now. When the imam comes, it will be easier for you. Don't wait for imam to come, because imam is waiting for you to be ready. Are you ready? If not, then don't say Allahumma ajjal faraja. Why? Because you are the one, they say, chopping off the head. The first people whose heads are going to be chopped off are who claim that we are the followers of the 12th imam, and they don't follow the imam properly. They are hypocrites. These are the first people, if there's going to be a chop of head, as we mentioned, that these people, they will fight the imam. These people will be like those who wrote the letters to Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Come on, we are ready, we are prepared. And when imam came, they were all on the opposition party. So these people who say that, "Oh, ajjal faraja, and they are not ready, they are going to be on the opposite side. Because as I'll mention in one of the hadith, the imam alayhi salatu wasalam say, وَإِنَّ الْكَثِيرِينَ مِنَ الْقَائِلِينَ بِهِ. Many of those who used to say, we used to support, "Oh, we are Shias, they are going to deny him." And that's the dangerous part. That's the dangerous part. So we need to be very careful about ourselves. We need to strengthen our faith always, because shaitan is there. And we need to communicate with the 12th imam. Create a bond between you and the 12th imam. One of the brothers, he was asking me, Sheikh, how can I make a bond with the 12th imam? How can I said, you don't need to do like those 100 rak'at and reciting half of the Quran. All what you need to do is love your 12th imam. Create a love between you and your 12th imam. Love him more than you love your wife. Love him more than you love your child. Love him more than you love your father. Love him more than anybody. Why? Because when you recite the ziyarah, you say, "Bi abi anta wa ummi." You tell the 12th imam, "I will give up my father and mother for your sake, O my beloved imam." That means my love to you is greater than my love to my father and mother. Of course, the 12th imam will not tell you to ditch your father and mother. But your love, how is it? Compare. Do you have that strong love for the 12th imam? Do you have this interaction, spiritual interaction, emotional interaction between you and the 12th imam? If no, then you have to start to create your love with the 12th imam. If yes, then try to increase your love with the 12th imam. So basically, our duty here is, if we start having a good connection, a good spiritual connection, a good emotional connection with our 12th Imam, then awaiting is easy. Why? Because automatically, by default, you will wait for the Imam. Because you love him now. You have great crush, a spiritual crush, not a bad crush. You have great crush, you have this great thing inside you for your Imam. You are longing for him. And you recite this words of dua in nutba, which is recited every Friday. You recite these beautiful words which reflect your love with the 12th Imam. If you have this kind of love with the 12th Imam, then automatically you will wait the 12th Imam. You will await for his coming. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now today we are going to continue the history. This was something just an appetizer to digest, to see how we can wait. What are the lists? Forget about the list. Start loving the Imam. Start creating this passion and emotional bridge between you and Imam. And then automatically you will write more than the lists which are written by the ulama. You will do everything to serve your 12th Imam, to help your 12th Imam, to support your 12th Imam. So today, inshallah, we are going to continue where we ended. Yesterday we ended where the marriage, this blessed marriage happened between Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam and Lady Narjis salamullahi alayha. After that, one day, after 1 year or after some time, one day Lady Hakima visits Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. And we spoke about this Lady Hakima. She was one of those great scholars, female scholars of the time, who studied from Imam Muhammad al-Jawad. She's the daughter of Imam Muhammad al-Jawad. She's the sister of Imam Ali al-Hadi. She's the aunt of Imam Hassan al-Askari. And she was one of the representatives of Imam al-Hajj ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. One day, Lady Hakima comes to the house of Imam Hassan al-Askari. And this day was 14th Sha'ban. When she was going to leave, Imam Hassan al-Askari said, "Oh my auntie, ya amma, oh my auntie, stay with us tonight." She said, "What is the problem? What is going on tonight?" He said, "This is the time where that promised birth is going to happen. This is the time. Tonight is the night." She said, "From who? Who's the mother?" He said, "Narjis." She went inside. She checked Narjis out. She examined her. Nothing is in Narjis. You know, she asked Narjis, "Do you feel anything?" She said, "No. Do you feel any touch? There's nothing. There's no sign of pregnancy." So she comes back. She asks Imam Hassan al-Askari, "Oh master, Narjis does not have any signs of pregnancy. How can that be?" Imam Hassan al-Askari smiled. He said, "The resemblance of Narjis is as same as the resemblance of the mother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam." What happened? When Fir'aun, the astrologist, they told Fir'aun that there is going to be a birth, this child, when he will become big, your kingdom will come to the end. So Fir'aun got threatened, the Pharaoh of Egypt got threatened by this child. He sent out all his army to kill anybody who was born in this year or who's going to be born, anybody in that year. And he used to send people, the women, they were carrying children. They used to cut off their stomach and take the child out. This was the brutality of Fir'aun. So Imam Hassan al-Askari says that this is the same, could happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges those people who are trying to eliminate the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not be able to. Because everybody was waiting. In our last sessions we said, the good ones, they were waiting for the Imam because this is their hope. And the evil ones, the tyrants also, they were waiting for the Imam because they had this ahadith. We mentioned ahadith of the 12th Imam were there in Bukhari and Muslim, and these were all contemporary to the birth of Imam, before and after. So they knew that there are only 12 khulafa, as in Bukhari, 12 Khulafa and they're all from Quraysh. So the tyrants, they have seen already 11 Khulafas. They knew that these are the true Khalifas. So they have seen 11. The 12th is going to come. That's why I mentioned that they were so much, they tightened the life of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. Torture, arrest, house arrest, every type of threat and intimidation was created for Imam Hassan al-Askari just to prevent that birth from coming to this world. And they used to send spies, female spies, to look at the wives and spouses of Imam Hassan al-Askari. Is anyone carrying child or something like that? So they could inform and the tyrant could take care of that situation. But Allah subhanahu, Imam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are trying to wipe out, they are trying to do all their best that this birth does not happen. Allah is going to show them that this birth will happen. So by that, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam tells tells Hakima, Lady Hakima. Hakima goes inside and sits with Nargis. After some time, Lady Hakima starts to offer Salatul Layl, nighttime prayers, which many of us do not offer. It is very important for us, especially in the holy month of Ramadan, to seek communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the beautiful ways of communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, offering nighttime prayers. So Lady Hakima, she is offering nighttime prayers. And she's watching Nargis. Nargis, she did some prayers and she slept. And after that, Lady Hakima, she's watching. And after she prays few prayers, she watches. Her eyes are on Lady Nargis. And suddenly, after some time, Lady Nargis suddenly wakes up. She feels disturbed. Lady Hakima says, what's going on? She says, I feel some kind of disturbance. So she said, do you feel that pregnancy sign? She said, yes, I feel it. And by that time, she went to Imam Hassan al-Askari. Imam Hassan al-Askari was also offering salawat, nighttime prayer. Imam Hassan al-Askari stopped, and yes, Lady Hakima. She said, the time is coming close. So Imam Hassan al-Askari told Lady Hakima to recite Surah al-Dukhan on her. The smoke, Surah al-Dukhan on her. And she started to recite Surah al-Dukhan. Suddenly she says that there was a cloud type situation. I couldn't see what's going on. And after a while, I saw a small boy doing prostration beside Lady Nargis. And and he was reciting ayat of the Quran. In some ahadith, he was reciting some du'as. Now, Sayyid Muhammad al-Sadr takes these points of objection. There are people that say, objection, Your Honor. We have a problem with this hadith. What is the problem? Take it out. Let's see. Let's discuss it. You know? The problem is, first of all, the birth. I mean, a woman, she is not pregnant. There's no signs of pregnancy in one night. How can she become pregnant in a couple of few hours? And then here the child comes. Number one, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make this type of pregnancy for Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, then what's the big deal? There was a tyrant waiting to kill Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Here there is a tyrant waiting to kill the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. And let's talk scientifically. Nowadays, if you don't tell people scientifically, they have hard time to believe. First of all, nowadays, a living cell, the scientists can expedite the growth of it or delay the growth of it. This is in science, a living cell. Human being is composed of all living cells. Scientists, they cannot extend the life of the human or decrease the life, they can kill him, I mean they can do it. But extending the life, they cannot, because the ruh is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But other than ruh, if they want to preserve this body, biologically, they can do it. So, the scientists, they can extend. Living cell, they did experiments for living cells. The cell has a rate of growth. They created a kind of biological and physical environment and chemical environment or biochemical environment. The cell was able to grow faster. You see, sometimes you have wounds and you put some kind of medicine, the cells, they grow faster. When you put this ointment, I mean, if you leave the wound like that, it will grow. But these medicines, some of them, they let the cells grow faster, and you become healed faster. So growing the growth, now the scientists, they can grow the living cell. That's not a problem. They can delay. As I mentioned in my one of the lectures about the long life, we mentioned that even the long people, they can extend, like the sperm. Sperm cannot live more than 72 hours in a regular environment. But now they are able to live, let the sperm, they slow the activity, the metabolism of the sperm, and it becomes stored in a bank. One day if you want this sperm, you can write a check in this sperm, I want my sperm back, you can get the sperm back. So scientists, they can do this. So what's the problem? And now we are not talking about science here, we are talking about power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, power of kun fayakun. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring Maryam alayhi salatu, can create Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam without a father, can create Adam without father and mother, what's the big deal that a birth, the pregnancy becomes like, instead of 9 months, becomes 9 hours or 9 minutes or whatever. It's not a big deal. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kun fayakun. We said, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا, in the beginning we said it, إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٌ كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the pregnancy to happen in a blink of eye, it's not a big deal. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we going to argue that? So, this pregnancy happened. Okay, what's the big deal? Another issue. They say how the pregnancy, the birth was given without any help, without any support. Who said there was no help, first of all? It is mentioned in mutawatir ahadith about the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or mashur ahadith, sorry, that ladies, master ladies, they came to Amina bint Wahab. Amina was alone. Why? Because people, they ran away. They heard that army of Abraha is coming and is going to wipe out Mecca or destroy the Holy Kaaba. Everybody left to the mountains. They wanted to take Amina bint Wahab, mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Amina, she refused. She said, I'm not going to go. They said, there's a danger, this, that, they might come and they might raid the houses. They said, no. The one, I'm secured because of the one inside me. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was alone, she had one maid, and the birth happened miraculously. In some of the riwayat that the Maryam and Asiya and some of the ladies, they came, it's not a big deal. These are from system of Amr. They are not dead, they are living, just they don't have bodies like our bodies. But they can come and they can do these kind of practices. So what's the problem? And suppose there was nobody. Can't angel come and be present for this holy birth? There's no problem. So the whole objections raised around this incident of the birth, the holy birth of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, are based on mere ignorance. Mere ignorance, nothing. Because they don't know the essence of Sharia. They don't know the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't know the power of Amr. They don't know. Or they have grudge against Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. These all are factors which create this kind of clouds around their side. Now when the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was born, Lady Hakima brings the child to Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, one of the objections I forgot. How can Imam come and do prostration and start speaking, you know, ayat and all these kind of things? This is also rejected. Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he spoke when he was in a cradle. Fil mahdi sabiyya. He was in a cradle. He was small boy, infant. And he spoke that, I am the servant of Allah, I am here to guide the, I am the messenger of Allah. And he gave a good statement about himself and the powers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. This is Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He spoke when he was in cradle. What is the problem if Imam alayhi salatu wasalam speaks and he is infant? There is no problem in that. So the thing is that these are special gifts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides these gifts to special personalities on the earth. So this is the birth. So then the child was brought to Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam did aqiqa. What is aqiqa? Aqiqa is slaughtering a goat. If you have not done aqiqa on yourself or on your children, please do one. It's good blessing. It is mustahab. It's highly recommended to do aqiqa. Many times, brothers, they come, Sheikh, my parents, they did not do aqiqa on me. Well, you can do aqiqa on yourself. You know, if somebody missed an aqiqa, when a child is born, they slaughter a sheep or a goat to feed the relatives and to feed the poor, whoever you want to feed. It's not just for the poor. This kind of act is an excellent act. Imam Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this aqiqa for the 12th Imam. He brought several sheep and they were slaughtered, and then he told the servants to buy 1,000 pounds of meat and 1,000 pounds of bread, and it was all distributed to the poor. Now Imam Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a policy. There is a threat, I mentioned. The tyrants, they are waiting for Imam, and the good ones, they are waiting for Imam. Here, Imam has to balance. If he keeps this child concealed, nobody knows, there's a problem. This child needs to be known. And if he announces, then there is a problem. Because the enemies, they will come and they will kill this child. So there has to be a tactic. Imam used the tactic of balance. He started, first of all, he told some of his companions that don't mention the name of the Imam. The name of the Imam is not Mahdi. It's not Muntadhar. These are all titles. The name of the Imam is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The tyrant, it is mentioned in the Sunni books, ismuhu ismi. His name will be my name. So the tyrants and opposition party, they are waiting for a child whose name will be Muhammad. So Imam forbids that nobody, it is forbidden on you to call this Imam by its name. Companions, they say, Master, how will we call him? Tell, Hujjatun min Ali Muhammad. He's a proof from the household of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So that's why until now, where he's more popular by the title of Hujjah, rather than the title of Muhammad. His name is Muhammad ibn al-Hasan. Awwaluna Muhammad, wa awsatuna Muhammad, wa akhiruna Muhammad, sallu ala Muhammad. So Imam used this tactic. Now, name is a very important thing. Shouldn't Imam tell the people about his name? No. If you know someone without the name, the main thing is to know someone. The name is not important. The person is important. Like how? I'll give you this example, inshallah we'll end, we'll continue tomorrow bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. In the Quran we have a scenario. The angels, they say we are more knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, don't you guys say like that. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is more higher than you. They say, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, if you want, we will put you guys to a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uncovered the entities. Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi, he mentions this hadith from Imam al-Sadiq. I'm mentioning this from a mujtahid, not from my pocket. Allama al-Tabatabai also mentioned that these entities, these anwar, they were uncovered. This is when? In the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Not on the earth, up in that system, wherever Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uncovered these entities. Those entities were Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. The angels knew who these people are, but they did not know what are the names of these people. So the knowledge they had, and when they knew these people, they didn't know, they didn't require to know the names. But here, this was the test. Who knows the names of these people? His ma'rifah will be complete ma'rifah. His knowledge will be complete knowledge. You know them and you know their names. So they said, we don't know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh Adam, tell them. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam started to mention, this is Muhammad, this is Ali, this is Fatima, this is Hassan, Hussein ila akhiri. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. By that, Adam was higher rank from the angels. Besides the qualities of the shahwa and aql and all those kind of things, this was like a token for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He succeeded in this test. He succeeded in this trial over the angels. So this was the thing that they knew. That was enough? Yes. But if you know the names, that's plus. So why Imam Hasan al-Askari doesn't tell the people that his name is Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam? We mentioned because there was a threat. Because there was danger. Because people, they were waiting for a person who's going to be born and his name is Ismuhu ala Ismi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that his name will be like my name. So the tyrants were waiting for somebody whose name is Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam cannot uncover. So that's why he told his companions, don't call him by his name. Don't call him by his name, call him by his titles. So by here, the birth happened, and inshallah, tomorrow, we are going to continue the history of our 12th Imam. From the birth to the death of Imam Hasan al-Askari, alayhi salatu wasalam. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the path of Ahlul Bayt, with Ahlul Bayt, and to keep us among the supporters of our beloved 12th Imam. In his occultation and after his occultation, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all our marhumin who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this holy month the month of peace, prosperity, dignity, and full of faith and spirituality for all the Muslims around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and shortcomings and to accept our fastings and to accept our whatever deeds we have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept them with His mercy. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.